Hello and welcome to All Tomorrow's Festivals, perhaps the last bit of content in this content series that we'll be generating here. So All Tomorrow's Festivals has been a content series and a research project that's been exploring the future of culture, the arts, tech, and all various related fields, and doing it by exploring the artists and makers and audiences at some of the, well, the biggest arts festival that exists anywhere, which happens in August in Edinburgh, in Scotland. For this whole series, I've been myself, Nick Sherrard, and I've also been joined by a content producer, Josh Nixon. Josh, hello.
Brilliant. Thanks for the intro again, Nick. I really appreciate it. And to kick us off for a little bit of the summary, tell me a little bit about, you know, how you turned these interviews, 19 wonderful interviews, into the research findings that we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, so there's some sort of geeky stuff around the kind of futurism methodology and all that kind of stuff that's on the website if you want to go there. But the key thing we've really done is gone through some real depth interviews with artists and makers, and gone through what they're making, why they think it's important, and also how they're doing that. And then we've looked for where that connects to wider things in the culture just now that might be emerging, and also where it disconnects, which it certainly does in some quite interesting ways, I think.
Brilliant. So we've got the five findings. Tell me what the first one is.
So the first of them is a kind of interesting connection point, I think, between what we saw in the festivals and what artists are making now and something that's emerging in industry and in the wider culture. And that's people introducing ideas about the future or talking around how they want the future to be by looking back. So by the idea of restoring something or bringing something from the past and holding it up for a higher profile. So the first of the trends all around this idea of restoring the new, there's lots more about it on the website. You can get into some of the detail of it. But I think the key thing that people should take away, if you are making new things, trying to get people to change behavior or trying to get people to connect to new products, new ideas, social change movements, the key thing people to get your head around is the way to get traction in many ways is to present a new thing as something restored. So really the idea of restoring the new.
Nice. And then take us through to the second one,
which is connected as well. Joyful pessimism, or being joyfully pessimistic, which is a really hard thing to get people's head around, but it's particularly relevant for anyone that's launching a green proposition or something related to climate change. And the core of it is what we saw artists making that was then getting real traction with a very much a kind of classic early adopter audience was people that were telling stories that were important. And they were about change that people wanted to see in the world, but they were no longer in the kind of Patagonia world of everything being optimistic and solvable in a technical way. So joyful pessimism was all around a trend that we're seeing in the creative artistic world. And we're also seeing emerging in worlds like fashion, where both creatives and audiences and consumers, therefore, are wanting to talk about change, but not wanting to be overly optimistic around the possibility of the rest of the world changing. And that's a really key tonal change.
And then I'm sure that connects into our third.
The powerful boringness of AI. And this was just a really interesting, absence or silence in the research, which is a lot of very, very creative people right now find AI really boring. And I think that has all kinds of implications for the way in which AI is promoted and marketed, because I think there's ways you could change that. But it also has lots of implications for anyone who is looking at the future and thinking how big an AI market is going to be, because there are, some transition points that might be harder than some people think.
And then we're into numeral four.
The fourth is a really interesting one. So this was an area we called Well Different, but it's really about the death of the everyman. So actually, again, this speaks to some of the points we've made in terms of how things are often framed and how brands think about themselves. But when you look at the way in which artists are telling stories right now, it used to be the case very much that you would have these kind of everyman figures. So these kind of people that were almost generic, almost the most normal version of people that became the center of the story to make it relatable. One of the really interesting cultural trends is that era is kind of over. And kind of what people are now doing is they are showcasing stories and telling stories of themselves that are centered around what's most exceptional or even weird or unusual or neurodivergent about themselves, and kind of using that unusualness to be a kind of hook into why everyone should care. So it's almost like kind of saying, actually, through our uniqueness, we kind of become most universal. That's the kind of like big geeky way of putting it. I think the kind of the fundamental learning for anyone who makes new things is that the people we used to think of as edge cases now certainly think of themselves as the center. And actually, all of us think of ourselves or identify with the edge cases. And that's quite a big fundamental shift for product designers to get their heads around.
And then that leads us nicely into our fifth and final one, which is, you know, what it means to even be Scottish.
Exactly, to be Scottish or to be an innovator in Scotland in particular. And one of the things we really highlighted, or was really highlighted to us through this research, was Scotland as a country hosts the biggest arts festival in the world. And yet it doesn't always showcase Scottish work. It becomes a festival that hosts work and host the kind of creative cultural industries from other countries. And that speaks into some really live debates just now around what innovation ecosystems are, how you can design them to have the best impact, and even how you can think about, you know, what innovation is. Because there's a lot of companies who want to be more innovative. There's a lot of countries that want to have bigger innovation economies. And I think one of the things, if you look at the detail of that particular trend, is, you know, Scotland's a real case study of the power of what an innovation ecosystem can be for the world, but also, if you're not careful, how that can be not very powerful for the economy that's actually in that place.
Well, those five finds are really wonderful. And, you know, for people who are listening to this or maybe watching the summary right now, and they're looking to make a new product or make a new thing in general, what is it that they can do next?
Obviously, they can see the detail of all the research on the site. Some of you may be listening to this or watching this actually on the site, so you can see this down below. Also, when you're there, you can just register interest with us, and we can do two things. So we can run sessions to take you through the detail of the findings, show you some of the interviews, show you how we deduced some of the findings that we've got there. But also, we can start to blueprint out what the future of your organization would look like if you were to apply these learnings to the products, the services, the way that you work in future.